You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Friday edition of All Marine Radio, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network. Going to be a shorter show today, not short. The chef's going to join us here in about 30 minutes, and I'm headed out the door, headed to Lake Tahoe to go to a wedding. My godson, Mike McGarry, so going to make about an 8-hour drive up to Tahoe today, so got to get out the door, and so gonna do that. The so we'll do an abbreviated look at the news, and then the chef will join us here. So, and we're gonna talk about 4th of July food, which he was hot and bothered to do, and which we always do. He's again. The chef's mantra is, the chef gets the party too, right? So it's important to him. So if you're looking for things you can do, that many of them you can do beforehand. And so the 4th of July, much like Thanksgiving, is a day that we gather as families and as with friends, and we enjoy their company. The last thing in the chef's perspective is you want the chef to be doing is stuck in the kitchen doing that all day and not have a good time. So you're going to hear things that you can do. Most of them, if not all of them, can all be done beforehand, so that the day of the chef's party or two. So don't miss that. I'm also going to ask him about Van Morrison, because Van Morrison is a favorite of his. So if you're a Van Morrison fan, Kim knew. I mean, interestingly enough, Kim was in San Francisco, and when, you know, in the early 60s, when Janis Joplin, Jimi Hendrix, all those people were there, and he knew them. So it's kind of interesting. So anyway, we'll talk about that here in a little bit. I got an email. I didn't watch the debates last night. I know you're disappointed, but I did not watch them. But I have seen clips, and I haven't listened to the audio. But I'll just tell you something. Something that I notice when I watch video with no audio, right, is look at people in their 70s, their 60s, their 50s that have no lines on their face. And look at how much Botox is injected into their mug. For instance, Joe Biden doesn't have a wrinkle on his forehead at his age of 70, whatever years old, right? He doesn't have any wrinkles. How is that possible? I saw a reporter who you see in studio, and they happen to be out in the sun, and I don't know if the Botox wore off because it lasts for, what, 60, 90 days, something like that, that it leaves your system. Oh, my God. It's like, whoa, is that the same human being? And it's amazing. So, again, when your TV's on mute and you walk by, things you notice, yeah, it's pretty, anyway. Hey, gotta look young, though. Gotta look young, or else they're not gonna vote for me, evidently. Or they're not gonna watch me. Or that's what the media requires. Somebody sent me, Vacaville Man sent me a thing about Audie Murphy, because Jeff Kenney mentioned him yesterday when we were talking. We were talking about, you know, if you're a professional military person, that, you know, you get reps as best as you can, anyway, in terms of being a leader and preparing to go to war, you get them any way you can. Map exercises, sand table exercises, training exercises, and reading's a part of that. And then Jeff made the comment, and then there's just people that have a knack for it. And he mentioned Audie Murphy, he mentioned Ray Smith, and they seem to be able to figure it out. What they are able to put their fear aside is something that they have pretty interesting things to say about it. But for whatever reason, I think through a combination of luck, straight up luck, and clear thinking, and, you know, being, able to see clearly when all others about you are losing their head because crazy things are happening, there's people like Audie Murphy, people like Wesley Fox, and people like Ray Smith that are just, they just have a knack for it. And so he sent me an article, it's called War History Online. I don't know who put this thing together. But anyway, the title is The Amazing Audie Murphy, Troubled American, Medal of Honor, War Hero, and Epic Hollywood Star. Audie Murphy history is pretty interesting. He's born in 1925. Troubled American Medal of Honor war hero. I think that's not true, right? Here are his decorations from World War II. The American Campaign Medal, the French Croix de Guerre with Silver Star, Campaign medals for the Middle East, Africa, and Europe, the French Legion of Honor, the Croix de Guerre with Palm, the World War II Victory Medal, the Army of Occupation Medal, the French Liberation Medal, the Belgian Croix de Guerre, and the American Medal of Honor and Legion of Merit. His Medal of Honor is awarded to him after he single-handedly held off a company of German soldiers at the Colmar Pocket, and then, incredibly, even after being wounded, led a counterattack. So anyway, if you've seen the movie, I think the movie's called, what, To Hell and Back? He hops up on an abandoned M10 tank destroyer. He begins firing the 50 cal at the advancing Germans, kills a squad crawling through a ditch towards him. For an hour, he stands on top of the tank destroyer, returning German fire, killing or wounding over 50 Germans. He gets wounded in the leg. Must not have been very serious. And, I mean, you can imagine all the rounds that were shot by that guy. So that's what I mean. There's a measure of luck in all this. I mean, combat luck. In fact, it's interesting when you hear John Canley talk, Medal of Honor recipient here in the last few months, for actions at Way City as acting as a company commander of Alpha 1-1. When you hear Ray Smith talking about John Canley, Smith goes to assume the command of Alpha 1-1. And he said, Canley was a fatalist. And he said, either something had your name on it or it didn't. So he calmly went about his business. And it's a very grown up, you know, I think only people who have ever fought understand that. That you, the things you see, within about 30 to 60 days, you conclude pretty quickly that I can't duck in time. I see people that get killed that have no business being killed. I see people who should be dead that aren't dead, and so there's really no rhyme or reason to it. I'm going to try my best not to get dead, but I'm not going to worry about it because it's out of my hands, clearly out of my hands, because I've seen it too many times. And so Canley, you know, very much a warfighter's mentality when it came to his own fate. So I just find that stuff very, very interesting. Murphy suffered from PTSD. David Niven, who was an actor, recorded in his biography that not only would Murphy sleep with a loaded gun next to him, but he would occasionally wake up after being startled and fire a round when somebody woke him up. And that sounds like a little much to me, but okay. Audie Murphy joins the Army at 16 years of age. Tried to enlist after the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor, but he was too young. The Army, Navy, and the Marine Corps all turned him down for being underweight and underage. His sister provided an affidavit falsifying his birth date by a year, and he was accepted into the Army on June 30, 1942, joined the 3rd Infantry Division, and served with them for the entire war. Officially, he was 21 years old when the war in Europe ended, but despite his youth, on VE Day, he had accounted for the loss of some 240 enemy soldiers. Now, I don't rightly know how they came up with that number, but that they did. You see pictures of him with all his medals on. It's pretty amazing. And because they didn't have rows of medals and the way we do it now, right? Very, you know, somebody sews them together. And, I mean, the whole left side of his coat, if you will, in his formal uniform, his jacket, his blouse, as we would call it. There's medals all over that thing, right? Right? He looks like some kind of third world dictator, but they're legit. It says, he was the most decorated soldier. Murphy was, until he was passed by somebody who I've never heard of, a guy named Matt Urban. Murphy was believed to be the most decorated soldier of World War II, but his tally was surpassed by veteran soldier Matt Urban, who, in addition to his numerous awards, also received from President Carter a belated Medal of Honor. Matt Urban. Never heard of him. Most decorated soldier in World War II? we should check Matt Urban out, right? Here's a picture of him. Matt Lewis Urban was a United States Army Lieutenant Colonel and one of the most decorated American soldiers of World War II. Urban performed valiantly in combat on many occasions despite being wounded in action several times. All right, so we'll get back to Matt Urban here in a minute. We'll finish up with Audie Murphy. It says his childhood was difficult. This is hilarious. I mean, it gives you, it's kind of a throwback, right, to what we used to be as a nation. His childhood was one of hardship and difficulty. He was the seventh son in a family of 12 siblings. So I don't know where he ranks linearly if he was his seventh son. Maybe he was the seventh child of 12 siblings. Seven of 12. Murphy's father was unreliable. After leaving his family and then returning unexpectedly, he finally abandoned them altogether, was never heard of again. He was devoted to his mother and claimed that he never really got over her death. You know, and I mean, that's the case for, you know, a lot of young people. So in terms of being difficult, that doesn't make Audie Murphy that atypical. In 1949, he was Time Magazine's Man of the Year. I wonder why in 1949. Despite his military success and film career, Audie Murphy lost a large part of his fortune through gambling and participating in unsuccessful business ventures. Wait, we had a deep dive on Audie Murphy someday. His acting and military careers found amazing congruence when he played himself. I mean, you'll see him in different westerns and things like that, right? Audie Murphy, good-looking guy. And the movie is called The Hell and Back. He dies on 28 May 1971, killed in a private plane crash in bad weather 20 miles west of Roanoke, Virginia. The pilot, who had a private pilot's license and 8,000 hours of flying, had no instrument rating. In bad weather, they crashed into a mountain. He was buried 2 weeks later, actually about 10 days later, at Arlington with full military honors. The headstones of Medal of Honor recipients buried at Arlington are normally decorated with a gold leaf. Murphy had previously requested that his headstone remain plain and inconspicuous, like that of an ordinary soldier. The headstone contains the incorrect birth year of 1924, based on his falsified military record. So there you have it, a little bit about Audie Murphy. But Jeff Kinney referenced him when yesterday in a conversation we were talking about, you know, the importance of reading for most of us. And then you have these gifted warriors who, when all others about them are losing their heads, they see clearly and they act and it works. Because sometimes you act and then the enemy does something because they've got some clear-headed dude on the other side. And in this case, they act, it works. And then through the good grace of God or the green energy, or whoever you believe in, all the metal misses them. And that's a huge component in living Medal of Honor recipients. And they will tell you that. Because they've normally seen enough shit to know how fortunate they were. So, anyway, little hip pocket class this morning. So, on this Friday morning, good morning to you. Whitney Houston makes it official. Good morning to you.
Who's brought strife?
And this is dedicated to Audie Murphy and Vacaville Man for sending me that. Audie Murphy is somebody who I grew up reading about. I think most people my age did. We watched the movie To Hell and Back and read stuff about him in the encyclopedia, read books about him, and a true American war hero. So dedicated to Vacaville Man and Audie Murphy this morning.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once them bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds. and win. You got to win.
Time to take a quick look at the weather, then we'll check some news headlines on an abbreviated first hour of All Marine Radio. It's a travel day, don't you know? Audie Murphy. Yeah, Matt Urban, man. I've never heard of Matt Urban. I'm a little embarrassed to say that, but you can always learn, right? You can always learn. Currently, it is sunny and 79 at Quantico, sunny and 81 at Camp Lejeune, 29 Palms is dark, clear, and 70. Camp Pendleton is dark, cloudy, and 60. Camp Smith in Hawaii is dark, cloudy, and 77. Okinawa, dark, cloudy, and 88. Ramadi is sunny and 114, and in the Helmand province of Afghanistan, in the city of Marja, it is sunny and 105. Currently, in the Costa Mesa Newport Beach area of Southern California, it's dark, cloudy, and 65 at 5:41 in the morning. Yo, this is recorded. Sorry about that. Looking for a high of 75 today as I head to on my way to Lake Tahoe. All right, time to check some news headlines here. A couple of interesting stories in the early bird today. Number one story, the above the fold story is 1st Army Battalion with mini drones is heading to Afghanistan. Yeah, little handheld drones. So they'll head there to that. But again, we're not in the, I guess that'll help advisors, but we're not in that business anymore of being out there amongst them. So interesting headline. Another interesting headline. There's been two active duty deaths on the border since those deployments began on the American border. Both have been found to be victims of self-inflicted gunshot wounds. 20-year-old PFC and a 19-year-old PFC. One from pretty close to me, Menifee, California. Another one from Hazlitt, Texas. So that has been in the news. The other story that caught my eye was the prison term has been upheld for an ex-drill instructor who became notorious, Marine-type drill instructor, Gunnery Sergeant Joseph Felix, who became famous when a recruit who he had hazed jumped to his death at Marine Corps Recruit Depot, Parris Island. A military court denied the appeal of former Parris Island drill instructor sentenced to 10 years in prison for abusing three Muslim recruits, including Raheel Siddiqui, who died during boot camp in 2016. A three-judge panel of the U.S. Navy Marine Corps Court of Appeals reviewed the 2017 court-martial of Gunnery Sergeant Joseph Felix and affirmed his conviction and sentence. Quote, the appellant was placed in a position of trust, charged with turning young men into Marines. He was one of their first authority figures, their first example of what a Marine is supposed to be, said Senior Judge and United States Navy Captain Frank Hutchison. He goes on, instead of providing a positive example and conducting meaningful training, he taught his recruits by his example that rule breaking was commonplace, that violence against fellow Marines was not only acceptable but was required to instill discipline. Not only did he fail to correct or report his subordinates' bad behavior, he encouraged it and participated in worse and more pervasive behavior. In November 2017, he was convicted of three counts of maltreatment of recruits. They also found that 2017 Felix was guilty of 8 of 9 counts of violating general orders by making physical contact with recruits, by striking and choking them, ordering excessive unauthorized incentive training, or other punitive exercises. Felix was also convicted on 1 count of making a false official statement and 1 count of drunk and disorderly conduct. On appeal, Felix's attorneys argued that the military judge had erred in part by allowing testimony about prior acts and, quote, uncharged misconduct to demonstrate Felix's alleged propensity to target Muslims and to abuse recruits. The appeals court disagreed, saying the evidence, including the fact that the recruits were Muslim, was relevant in the case. Felix's attorney also claimed that his trial counsel was ineffective and that his sentence was inappropriately and disproportionately severe, considering the punishments issued to fellow drill instructors accused of maltreatment. The Court of Appeals again rejected that argument, saying Felix's misconduct was, quote, more severe and pervasive than that of his fellow drill instructors. While we recognize the mitigating evidence presented by the appellant, including his many military accomplishments and the tragic consequences his conviction has had on his family, we are convinced the appellant received the punishment deserved. Interestingly enough, right, Gunnery Sergeant Felix was not charged in Siddiqui's death, and the manner and the details of his passing were not discussed in the court-martial, much to the family's disappointment. The sentence was recommended was 5 years in prison. The military judge at his general court gave him 10 years in prison. In addition to that, he received a dishonorable discharge, forfeiture of salary, and reduction to the rank of E1 or private. He also will lose his military benefits and his housing allowance, which is brutal on his family. So, anyway. And again, that story was a huge story in the Marine Corps, and now it has been... Now it had been put to bed. A couple other stories, in top five stories, or one is the U.S. Senate passed a defense bill by a margin of 86-8, setting up a fight with the House, which is obviously controlled by the Democrats. So you'll hear more of that. Number two. The Marine Corps is dishing out $280,000 bonuses to qualified pilots. Yeah, you heard me. $280,000. Over $250,000 to qualified pilots. Aimed at getting them to sign longer contracts. And plug the flood of Marine aviators trading in their military wings to fly civilians. Number three, Army Green Beret Major pleads not guilty to Afghan murder charges. Major's name is Matthew Goldstein. He's an Army Green Beret. He has pled not guilty to the murder and related charges in the killing of an alleged Taliban bomb maker. He remains on active duty, is not in custody, awaiting trial, a date for which has not been set, according to the U.S. Army Special Operations Command spokesman. He was arraigned yesterday morning at Fort Bragg, North Carolina. The arraignment comes nearly a decade after the incident. He was a captain at the time. In 2010, during a deployment to Afghanistan with the 3rd Special Forces Group, during some of the bloodiest fighting of the war. So, anyway, I'm sure you've seen this, but he was arraigned yesterday. Number four, story in Early Bird. Envoy, U.S. doesn't want war with Iran, but wants to be ready. And this is, I don't know that I need to go into that much, but this is a what is this guy's name? Brian Hook, the U.S. Special Envoy for Iran, gave an interview yesterday in Paris. Right? You had Iran saying, and you had Emmanuel Macron yesterday talk about there will be no brief war. We know when they start. We don't know when they'll finish. So, anyway, that in the news. And the fifth story, Call to Serve, how this small North Carolina town became number one in military recruiting. Listen to this. North Carolina as a whole has top billing, too. Based on the number of 17 to 24-year-olds who joined the military relative to the population in that age group, it has more towns in the top 25 than any other state in the country. So, interesting story about people called to serve. That's in the Charlotte Observer. Right, so you can search on that. Anyway, North Carolina, long been a hotbed, not just now. Look at the numbers from North Carolina who served during the Civil War, during World War I, through Korea, Vietnam. North Carolina, pretty patriotic state relative to who puts their name on line and who goes to serve. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, the chef will join us, so... Whatever you do, don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next, right here on your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network.